get comfortable and let our journey begin as we meet the hosts, internationally acclaimed mediums, Mick and Zoe Avery.
Welcome to Spirit Work, the metaphysical and spiritual show designed to open your eyes to the greater possibilities of life. And thanks for joining us. For those with us for the first time, what makes this show so unique is that every week Mick demonstrates his exceptional gift of deep trance channeling live on air. He channels an enlightened spirit called Gregory Hay, who is the spokesperson for a group of highly evolved spirits called the White Cloud Group. They're an educational group, and they are here to give us knowledge and information we'd never have access to in any other way. And this week's show is about questions about spirit. So if you would like to join us with a question, it's not a reading, but if you'd like to join us with any questions that you have about spirit or the spirit world, and it can be your connection to it, of course, or something that you always wanted to know about the spirit world, then if you'd like to join us, you can phone. It's toll-free in the U.S. and Canada. And the number in the U.S. is 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And if there's any international callers who'd like to phone in, I'm afraid it's not toll-free, but it's only a quick call. And the number is 001-530-876-3222.
Hi, I'm Mick Avery. As well as Spirit's Work on bbsradio.com every Monday at 7 p.m. and Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific, we have another radio show which is called Spirit Teaching. You can hear that on artistfirst.com every Tuesday at 7 p.m. If you'd like to know more about us, our books, audio CDs, maybe book and Akashic reading or any of the other diagnostic services we have to offer, please go visit our website, www.spirit-teaching.com, and also live at www.spiritworkradio.com. And as Sylvie said, I'm a deep trance medium, which means that I'm a fuel channel for the spirit world, an agent here to try to communicate with those who continue to walk with us and try to look after us. In this week, each week on our show, Sylvie has a conversation with our spirit friends so that they can give us the benefits of their wisdom, and as a result, get a different perspective on life, which means having choices and options we never realized were available to us. When I go into the trance state, I will not know of anything that happens until they bring me back again. And that is how it should be, because we wouldn't want thoughts and feelings from my own mind getting in the way of the contact with the spirit world. So it's going to be divided for me.
Absolutely.
Okay, thank you. Bye.
Gregory was asked before his physical life in the early 1700s if he would like to claim to be the representative of this educational group we are going to be helping the people of the earth discover a more harmonious way of life. The group wants us to understand the implications of what we are doing to our planet, to aid us on the road to recovery and raise the vibration of the planet. They consist of eminent scientists, physicists and scholars, as well as ordinary people, and between them they have vast knowledge and insight. They try to help us to look at the bigger picture of life, to think outside of the box, and explain situations that affect us and our future and the future of the planet. And of course, consequently, those who wish to come after us who haven't had a physical life yet. Like I say, do join us if you would like to join in with our conversation about questions about spirit and the spirit world. And I will read those numbers out again shortly. I'd just like to tell you that we do have a spring reduction on our Akashic readings. So if you would like to have an Akashic reading, or you'd always thought about it and couldn't quite stretch to the 60 minute, the 1 hour reading, then we do have a great reduction on that particular reading. So do take a look at our website, www.spirit-teaching.com, and it's all quite self-explanatory, and you can have a look and a browse through there. We also have our merchandising, which is quite interesting, and it's not quite finished, it's not all up and ready yet, but we do have quite a bit on there already for you to look through, some Gregory memorabilia and things like that. It's quite exciting. Gregory's smiling now because he's just arrived, but he thinks we'll see what why he's smiling in a second. So, here we go then. Hello, Gregory, you're smiling.
Hello, my dear friend, with love and light and blessings be upon your pathway, as always.
So, which part of that were you smiling at, like Gregory memorabilia?
Well, yes, I suppose so. And being as, I was quite young when I passed. Now, this actually is a part of what I need to talk about to begin with. Because the inference of this, that I was young when I passed, I didn't have much of a physical life, intimates the fact that therefore I must know nothing. Well, now, let us see about this. What is the connotation then of what people in physical state think of when they think of perhaps a child who passes at the age of 3 days? Are you saying or thinking in your mind that child had no experience, had learnt nothing, had said nothing, felt nothing, or very little, and had actually not enabled the interaction that you normally would denote was a physical life, which is surely 3 score years and 10.
Mm-hmm.
At least, at the very least, you would expect to find yourselves in the ramifications of all that life, all that upheaval, all of those grossly negative situations which are supposed to learn and teach you for every single trick of life and every single little nuance of depravity and every single situation of negative state that befalls humanity in order for humanity to learn, so say. This is a situation which befalls many, particularly within the spiritist movement, as they would understand it, that the only situation of communication worth communicating with has to be an ascended master, whatever that means. The whole connotation of this is something similar and akin to finding and worshipping a kind of guru upon the physical earth. It may well be that you worship saints, particularly tied to one religion. It may be that you worship some other form of being due to its great longevity in physical life. But that is predisposing that the situation is always going to be as you actually see it, as you actually observe it in physical life. Just because a being has lived a very long and oftentimes some say difficult life, does that mean to say it declares the path of wisdom for that life? Is an old person always going to be filled with wisdom? I have to say nay, absolutely not. There is not one shred of evidence to suggest that human beings, through having had or led all the way through their physical life, are necessarily going to turn out as wise as a child of 3 days. Bold statement, some might say. The point I'm making here is that human beings rush to judgment, judge by themselves and their own lives or their own learning curve of how they have assimilated life, how they have transposed the difficulties of life into positive forms of well-being or nurture or encouragement. or even growing the fields of courage within a self in order to tackle these problems and learn to breathe whilst doing it, rather than having one's shoulders up around one's ears in desperation and anger and resentment at actually having to do something to work for your physical life experience. So this means to say, friend, that obviously I object. The situation is quite clearly that one always predisposes that spirit, if at 3 days old, at the time that the child passes, the child must know nothing. This is because you come from a tainted point of view, that of physical life. You know nothing, really, in terms of what the situation can become or what has actually evolved for that spirit. Why is that spirit having that three-day-old life? Is it predetermined that life is going to succumb after just 3 days? Or does it actually boil down to a situation, a set of circumstances which are unleashed upon it? Well, first of all, let's address this little question and problem that we have here. A child passes at 3 days of age, and you think, oh, and you weep for this child who knows nothing, learns nothing, and is of this innocent state. First thing to remember is this child is a reminder. Their life has become a reminder to the rest of humanity of its selfish state of appraisal, of itself, of one another, of how it is far better for human beings, for some to be bathing in their wealth. They have so much of it, they don't know what to do with it, so they even throw it away. And yet, whilst others starve to death, or struggle through disease that could quite easily be cured, that is not necessary for that child to go through. These are the pestilence of whether you think as a race you have actually atoned your grief, that you have actually perhaps enabled your human race to overcome the prejudice racists thoughts and feelings, the situations of living a life without love and without care and without the understanding of goodness in service to others, to all others. These children act as a symbol to that humanity, to that race, to that species, to say, well, you have not actually managed to actually put into practice all of those facets of your common life which you could by rights and should by rights have excelled in, because you already know it's taking place. So first of all, we have to deal with the actual physical discrepancy, the actuality of it, that the child need not die after 3 days old, that it's only there starving to death because other parts or portions of humanity have failed to address the problem. So this is a problem of service for the rest of humanity, and is a damning indictment that after so many thousands of years of human history, that there is still not an ability to actually genuinely be in service to the whole of humankind. The second point to say is that when you are looking at a child of three, you predispose that child knows nothing, senses nothing, sees very little, can only just about make out images, maybe, maybe not. Yet, you are also coupling that with the whole situation of how you predispose that child spirit is in conscious thought. And what you couple with that is the grief-stricken statement that spirit is obviously very young and knows absolutely nothing. So it's going to have to come back again and again in order to actually live the life that it was supposed to have had. My point here is, how do you actually know that? What you are making is a rash judgment of decision when you know not the spirit who actually joined with that physicality. You know not the spirit. You assume that spirit is this. There it is, a written statement or an assertion by someone in their knowledge and wisdom who has actually ascertained in exactly the same as all humanity that if you're looking at it from the perspective of the human mind, you are dealing with very little. That there has been no life, therefore no expression, no accumulation of emotion, or no accumulation of feeling, or the transparent qualities of negativity, and doubt, and fear, and anger, and resentment, and love, maybe. All of these issues are supposed to grow a human being in the garden of life. And yet, when we see it, the evidence appears to be that people, even when they become old, are still angry. People, when they become old, are still cantankerous and still single-minded and think in only one light, still have great importance of negativity, which are harnessed to religion, to their virtues, to other people's lack of desire or want or their greed or whatever. All of those situations still exist within whatever age of human being that happens to accommodate it. The only salient point, the only saving grace in all of this is if that human being actually recognizes their destiny of spirit and is then enabled by that relationship to beautify their world, their life, their intuition, their grace, and enliven it for others to see. If you then wish to place upon that spirit's journey of about 3 days to join with the physical life and say that child had no experience whatsoever, then you are missing the whole statement of what life is. And also you are missing the statement about what spirit is. Many people think that spirit, before there is physical life, is nothing, cannot be possibly anything. Therefore, spirit only exists once physical life has begun, has been generated. Therefore, it means to say that what was there before humanity became what it is today? What was spirit before then? In going back and tracing this, you have to understand that your spirit is a part of God, or is, as we rather would call it, this energy, this complex energy of beautified logic, maybe? Loving energy? What does that mean? Loving energy is gathering, is nurturing, is being emotionally tied to. Does that mean to say then that God is all emotion? Or that God all lacks emotion if, as some might have it, that the fields and plains of humanity are littered with the corpses of men and women and children, hacked or beaten to death or run over by carts as I was, or at the behest of war. All of these different situations, even of disease, one might say that they would cry foul to what God is supposed to be. Yet how can that be possible if God is all love and loving? We have to understand that our spirit, all of those in human state, has a spirit. And all of those spirits are millions of years old. Literally millions of years old. There has never been a time when a new spirit has just emerged from that which is God. Quite simply because it all happened millions and millions of years ago. Yes, it is still happening, but the point that's happening in that respect is that the life forms of spirit who are emerging are actually generally tending to be other life forms that perpetuate the rest of the universe. That's not to say that all humanity is finished with, but there are certainly billions and trillions and a countless number of spirit yet to have a physical earth human life. And all of those spirit have beautified logic, have immense capacity for understanding. Even the thickest child, the dimmest wit, the child who has only half a consciousness and grows up to be whatever it is, that does not point to the spirit being that way. It is purely that you are looking at the actual DNA, the cycle of collection of cells. So this does not mean to say that collection of cells and its life has already been organized, therefore tainted, and that no free will can possibly exist for that being, because all life is already prerequisite. If that be the case, then all single beings living now at this point upon the planet of Earth need just do nothing, just sit at home and watch the world go by until you pass. Because all of your life, so say, is a prerequisite, is painted out. Lines are drawn, the day when you pass is drawn, everything is drawn to do with every single interactivity of your life. Therefore, don't interact with it, or just carry along and you will continue to be depressed, you will continue to live in the worst possible attrition or atrocity. Don't forget, human beings create atrocity. The world of spirit, and actually the world of nature, upon your physical state, doesn't do that. Both of those worlds actually create harmonic. Animals live until maybe they are taken by another animal because of their choice of food. It may well be because of their position within the hierarchy of animal state. That only exists because of the evolutionary process, not something that's saying that life is written already. It's a matter of chance as to whether that animal is actually come across by some other which is a predator to it. And it may well be that eventually, like the elephant, knowing when it is to pass because it is connected to its spirit and knows when that spirit is ready, it is also connected to the fact that it hasn't got any teeth left. That's why it's going to pass. So it knows, the elephant knows. It doesn't have to be mauled by lions or whatever in order to meet with the time of its passing. So that is not saying the elephant knows, or it is a prerequisite of time, that time is going to pass in a certain set way in order for that beautified spirit to actually let go of physical life.
I'd like to say thank you. If you've just joined us on Spirit's Work, you're listening to Spirit Guide Gregory Hay being channeled by Deep Trance Medium Mick Avery. I'm Sylvie Avery, and we're talking about Well, it's questions about spirit, really, about spirit here, spirit there, spirit everywhere. And if you have a question, it's not a reading type of situation, but a question about our subject, something that you might have pondered about for a long time, do phone us. The number is toll-free in the US. It's 877-876-5227. In Canada, it's 888-815-9756. And international callers, it's not toll-free, but the number is 001-530-876-3222. Well, the thing that jumps out to me at the moment is, well, there are a few things, but I think it's probably that we can't actually get our head around the brain and mind function. You know, in other words, if you've never had, I think this is the thing as well with that goes along that confuses people about, you know, if you've not had a physical life on Earth, then what was there before? That's why you have to supposedly keep coming back, is that you've never had a brain. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely so.
Because we can't correlate the brain and mind situation. So if you would like to take us through that would be, I think that would be really good to sort of like go back to the basics there.
Yes, of course. So to begin with then, if you are looking at spirit, when spirit first emerges from that which is God, we will see that the same intelligence that is God, which is the culmination of all spirit, and all spirits joined together within that energy, is in fact completely all-knowing all things. So there is no degree when that spirit lacks intelligence. It is all-knowing already. What then happens is that spirit, in its purest, beautiful state, is helping all other beings who have already had a physical life. So I'm not meaning here that all spirit of humanity has already been born and therefore there are no more. Of course, God is still in its infancy, if you like, is still progressing and creating in one plane of existence or another. So it is not to say that there was any time that it wasn't either creating in some form of existence, because otherwise nothing would exist. This situation actually then is maintained by the very fact of the equilibrium between all spirit, which is that we are all reflecting a part of that which is God. The energy of this consciousness means to say that we don't actually have to have a physical manipulative cell structure to enable thought to occur.
Ever?
No. The reason why you do as a physical being is so that you can operate the physical vehicle. When you are a spirit, before a spirit becomes physical, you actually have full understanding of all that is, because you are the unique part of that which is God, this pure, beautified energy. And as spirit, before you ever had a physical life, you will actually reverberate and shine and be the energy of the universe. Now, that may be a bit difficult to correlate with, to understand, to actually link your mind around. Let's say then, you see the birth of stars, and it's within a large gaseous cloud that is formed and gathered because of the particles and different situations of energy which are existing between the particles as they are emitted, as they are gathered from the finest dusts of the universe. Debris, if you like, created by exploding stars and this and that. The situation then becomes that when you you are observing stars being born, it's physical matter, so you can actually maintain your mental image around it. But imagine, if you will, all spirit. All spirit are shards of energy of that which is God. So there are all of these different little glittering lights of energy. Not one particular size is held here, because a spirit may accentuate its energy and actually cover the size of a planet, if that is what it wished. But in the main, spirit generally tends to be of a certain specific continuum, if you like. They link together, maybe, to form other trains of consciousness which then are able to continue to create together and create within different aspects of the conscious state. So that means they have different views because they are in observation of different parameters of what is. In just the same way that God is an expression of all parameters of what is. That means that God is an expression of every dimension, of every facet of it, of good and bad, beauty, love, hate, evil, situations of degradation, situations of beauty, of intense love and magic between inspirational situations of beings. These are all the perplexing questions of the universal dynamic, which, as spirit, who try to help and create in service so that those in physical life may actually come to understand something else about their mode of life and why they exist at all. Purely because, as physical matter, we are able to transpose other thought and idea, have other states of reality. It pleases us to do this. Now, all or most of the beings who eventually become physical human beings or transposed spirits, which are actually leaning toward that, have become opaques at some point, which means that you are beings who have actually moved through the prismic journey of beauty and interaction as the first part of your physical life journey, which means to say that you have had this wonderful, wondrous experience as one of the vast nations of OPAC hierarchy, which exist within different planes of the universe. That's not to say that it's just in one plane of the universe that you see. And these existences are over thousands of years of nourishment, thousands of years of contemplation on specific planets of noble destiny, where peace is learned, where love and energy of such a degree is brought together in the conscious state to allow all spirit to engage within that understanding. This is how it is that many spirit actually then become nurturing toward many other groups and many other situations. And why it is that actually it's part of the human destiny to do that. But human beings also, unfortunately, because of their state of physicality, have become very warlike, much like many of the raptor folk, the different forms of species that have formed the raptor folk of 500 different forms that exist within them. And this then shows a completely different end to species. Raptor folk, incidentally, some of them have also been opaque in their life. And those spirit doesn't mean to say that they are less a spirit for wanting to adhere to or have an experienced journey as being a raptor. Because there are good and bad in all things.
Well, you've said before, there are varying degrees of the rapture folk being, you know, of temperament and personality.
Yes.
Not that any of them are particularly flavourable.
Well, they have their own mind. They have their own journey, and their own desires are met through a peculiar form of behaviour which is inherent within them.
Mm.
This is a condition, actually, to do with their upbringing, to do with their upwelling, how you place different beings within the feather light of physical earth experience, you observe behavior as being, so say, evolved traits of, as a part of their destiny journey. How, oh yes, I can tell that it's this kind of being because it has this kind of behavior, and that's the behavior pattern that you expect it to have.
Mm.
However, if you had looked and observed that being, perhaps hundreds of thousands of years ago, it wouldn't have had that behavior. It would have behaved in a completely different way because it had to correspond with the environment in a different way. So we usually find that behavior is amount of environment within most other species, all except human beings, that is. With human beings, it can become that they respond only to environment. That's why people who live in war-torn places tend to behave like animals. Or, no, I don't mean that. I mean, like, worse than animals.
Mm.
In having a lack of care, a lack of control, that kind of situation. Whereas, normally, if you observe humanity in its normal state, it is not actually warlike. It wants peace. Human beings really, truly want and seek peace.
Well, yes, but it's at the detriment of everybody else's free will. It's only under the, you know, their own terms, isn't it? In
yes.
the main, if you look at war situations. But I was just thinking about the raptors and the other folk that the greys and energies like that want our world, basically.
Yes.
Ultimately.
Yes.
You know, I'm thinking, well, would they look after it better? Because we're making such a hash of it. That's what I'm thinking. And I'm thinking, are there good, you know, shall we say, extraterrestrials here who want our world and who would make a better job of it?
A better fist of it than humans?
Absolutely, yes, yes.
Well, yes, I take your point. Absolutely. And they too, most probably, have been opaque as well, and yes, quite possibly so. The point that you have to understand is that what we're really trying to do, though, within this situation, is to help humanity to try to right itself because of the extents of compassion and possible honor and courage and all of those good qualities that are present within some human beings, we would hope to see to become endemic within many others. The problems appear to arise, however, that many are in desperate states of redress, are in desperate states because they do not have their beautified lives, and instead are trying to get themselves, drag themselves out of the mud that they have found themselves in. Sometimes not even being born in the right state or country is enough. And instead, the life will hanker after some other situation, some other cause célèbre. The grass is always greener on the other side. Well, actually, in some countries, it is greener on the other side, quite simply because of the desperation that country may be going through. And the desperation comes about through the lack of learning, the lack of education.
Freedom.
The lack of freedom, yes, absolutely so. The lack of honor, perhaps. I'm not saying that this is the fault of all beings, but I'm saying that certainly it will have a parity to it, to that life. It will have a bearing upon it. It will have an energy about it. and the happiness of that those people and how they actually really interact with their life will be not the characteristic of human beings, but the characteristic of that particular journey. So that doesn't mean to say that journey is already pre-written or it's a prerequisite to that is going to be the lot of that life. On the contrary, it is possible for all life to change if you take it or if it takes itself away from that place and does something else completely differently, maybe even goes and lives somewhere else away from the rest of that society, you will find the attitude will change. That's why people become hermits or actually move away from other tracts of society, quite simply because they have had enough of that form of attitude and go and at least settle their life within something else. Even if that means that the existence is meager, that food is scarce and not a plenty like for many. And maybe it could be that the present situation in one country is only that way because of the systems of chance which are regulated into actually ordering lives rather than helping them and being in service. These are all manifestations of the environment which human beings unleash upon one another. It's not to say there is any part of the planet that is irritatingly hostile to human beings. It's human beings who either fail to live there because they just cannot stand the heat or cold or whatever, and it is not a suitable environment, or they create harm to one another, therefore negating the chance to live together. These are all situations which are created in physical state. That is, does not denote it's a prerequisite and that there is no free will in existence. Free will does exist for every single being.
Well, it's obviously, blatantly obvious that there are far too many of us on this planet for it to ever function properly, safely, healthily for the planet and for us as well, for ourselves.
Yes.
Some might say, if this is the case, why does God allow so many to be born, to come, so many spirits to come to the Earth plane?
But that is a situation of the physical cell structure. And when you have physical beings who copulate, who generate another batch of cells mm-hmm. together, mm-hmm. then that's an actual physical response. And what happens is that spirit, in its inevitable way, responds to that response. Because usually it is a situation which happens because of the continuum of wanting to allow that genetic to continue. That is why human beings do it.
Well, what about, yes, but it's being done artificially in the main, because the thing is, and I'm not saying that, you know, to anybody, hey, that this is wrong. I'm just putting this out there for
further thought.
Absolutely, because, you know, one might think, well, maybe the natural process is that there are certain people that can't have children, and maybe that's a way of it happening, not through God, but just because of this, I don't know, natural selection. I don't know, but
just because of the genetic situation of that individual?
Yes, but then we've got around that now, haven't we? So I don't see how this is going to happen if we are supposed to be for the sake of the continuity of the planet. How is this going to happen, that everything is going to work out okay if we're continually breathing like this?
Well, quite simply, it won't. And human beings have to understand that only so many can be supported upon the planet of such a size, and that's it, period. Human beings have not come to this understanding or justification yet for actually creating the rationale of being careful about the environmental impact it makes. It's only just waking up to the fact that it's having an environmental impact at all. And yet, you have hundreds of thousands of years of history of human endeavor which actually depicts that human beings can outgrow their environment and cause chaos, utter chaos, create deserts out of worlds where once there were lush forests and beauty and organisms of life abounded.
Well, a lot of this as well, though, is also to do with the fact that we don't look after the areas that need to devastate certain parts of the planet in order to scrape a living, as well as, obviously, I do know that the larger corporate companies do that too. But there are also people that live in these areas of natural beauty that are killing the planet.
Oh, absolutely,
rainforests that are doing it really just to sustain themselves.
Yes, or not even that. Not even to sustain themselves, because perhaps they are pressurized by it, by criminal elements, or because they are pressurized by it because of government restrictions or whatever it is. However, that infrastructure has been worked out and made to profit those who are in power. That is the situation of the day, which also has to be faced by humanity for them to understand the burden that they are placed within in this physical life. As a spirit being, if all beings in physical earth life actually assimilated to their spirit, were welcoming to it, then that relationship would improve the physical life no end. The problem exists because human beings think that they are better than that. And they have a surface criteria which actually inflates the egoism of self rather than understanding what is needed by the mass. In that respect, I suppose you could say that ants are far more advanced than human beings. You didn't think I was going to say that.
I really didn't think you were going to say that, Gregory. No, I really don't know what to say to that.
That's quite all right. I understand.
You mean they look after each other?
Yes, absolutely.
Much better.
So they nurture one another.
Not just on their own doorstep,
Yes.
Because that's really what we're talking about here with human beings, isn't it?
Yes, absolutely so. And that doesn't mean to say they completely care about their environment either. They actually devastate it, some parts of it.
Yeah.
And they are taught by their mistakes, perhaps, because then what can happen is that they unleash big problems for themselves. Maybe even because they burrow their way through a particular piece of earth, that piece of earth then becomes flooded. Many of them will perish in that event. However, some of them will survive, being clever enough to float on leaves and that sort of thing, or even be able to swim for their lives, because they've learnt the art of using water tension and surface tension in order to ride upon it.
Well, I think animals in general use their instincts more than we do.
Yes, their connectivity with their spirit, absolutely so.
And that's another thing, isn't it? We've got the brain, we've got the mind and consciousness.
But not the connectivity.
Absolutely, and we've got instinct.
Yes.
And all of these things, you see, people think because that before you have, you know, if you haven't had a physical life, then you haven't got all of these functions, these commodities to hand.
Yes, but the point is that you are then assimilating that everything has to come at the behest of physical beings, which in actual fact is an impurity, if truth were known, because your spirit is pure and beautiful, because it's part of God.
Well, it's because you forget everything when you come.
Yes, but that's only because you are reliant upon the physical state. If you meditated,
From birth, you mean?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
If you were actually understanding about the superconsciousness of your life and the connectivity you can make with your spirit, you would be a beautiful being. It's only the fact of the trappings of your physical life and the fact that you are not communicating with your spirit that you're not.
Yes, so if everybody, if children, all of the children that were born, as well as learning school,
yes,
as soon as they started school, even before that, as soon as they could even sit up or understand, meditate and learn how to meditate, basically.
And connect with their spirit.
Well, yes, that would be a consequence of that, but that would be basically the knock-on effect. But, I mean, they didn't know why they were doing it initially. But that basically would breed, would cause a whole different human nature. Human beings would be totally different, basically.
Absolutely, completely different.
And,
yes.
that would be the perfect solution, wouldn't it?
Well, it would be, yes, because then all beings would be aware. It's only because there is a failure and an inherent belief in the primacy of self that then tends to obviate that human beings are in denial of their own spirit endeavor.
Yeah.
And the presence of that energy.
It's a bit like you said in one of your books that that we're not in touch with the operator.
Yes.
If we're not in touch with our spirit, if we're not meditating to connect with our spirit, we're not in touch with the operator.
This is so true.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, the other thing that you were in one of your books as well, and we've got some of this, I've got this on one of your merchandise items on the picture. You say that it is wise to listen to the wise, it is also wise to make your own judgment.
Yes.
Which is how we started the show in the first place.
Yes, that is true. And how it is wise to make your own judgment, to create your own pathway. That doesn't mean to say that it's always going to be a judgment which is wrong. What you have to do, because you're a physical being, what you have to do is to really, truly look at all objects, look at all situations and decisions, and create the right pathways. The point here has all been about the fact that you are not at the behest of some subprimal plan which has already been mapped out, therefore you have no life, no decision making to do. You have every decision to make, whether you get up in the morning, whether you kill your child, whether you take something else's life in order that you may survive another day, or whether you learn to love yourself. These are all your conditions of physical state, your decisions, your judgments to make. And if you choose not to take them, if you choose and favor negativity instead of positivity and love, then you will actually reap those benefits of what will happen to you, and what will eventually create problems for your future journey in the spirit world. Mm. If you act in love and positivity and beauty, you will raise your vibration, you will make right choices and beautify your world, your life, your thoughts, your actions, your feelings. For they will not carry resentment or cynicism or loathing or anger, but instead will color your life with the energies of compassion and love.
Thank you, Gregory.
May blessings be upon your pathway, dear friend. God bless.
And we hope you've enjoyed the show. I'd just like to mention our website again, www.spirit-teaching.com, where you can find out more about us. Maybe book yourself an Akashic reading. And do join us again on Thursday for our show in the afternoon. My name is Sylvia Avery, and you've been listening to Spirit's Work. Until next time, be peaceful, be positive, be focused on your goal, knowing that you're not alone in trying to create a better world. Goodbye.